title of this message is God's New Creations. God's New Creations. It's actually preached after the Sunday the 12th because the machine did not work for us properly. And so I had to come back and redo it. But because of some things that were in it, I felt it was necessary. So anyway, this is actually brought on, should have been on April 5th. On April 5th. So anyway, and then I have some questions as I begin the message. I want to ask, is ignorance the same as ignoring something? Now, Paul said that God had mercy on him because he was ignorant. At the same time, he did ignore some obvious thing. God, because Jesus told him, he asked him, he said, how long are you going to kick against the goads, against the pricks, the things that were goading him? And certainly Stephen's experience, when they stoned Stephen, Paul was right there and laid down his coat as the one who took the blame for it. And so we can see that he certainly was getting some powerful insights through what happened to Stephen. Right now, God is using his word to create his kingdom within men. However, in the end, at the last trump, it says that God is going to, at the last trump, we're going to be changed. And it says it has not yet appeared what image we shall be like, but when he appears, we shall be like him. And this is in 1 John, the third chapter, verse 2. And therefore we shall see him as he is. And I've had done a lot of thinking about that, and it's like it appears then that he already is in the state that we are going to be made into when he appears, but we are going to be like him. So, which kind of changes his identity according to most church theology today. Until I began to listen only to the Word of God and began to reject the diversity of church doctrines, I never realized just how powerful the devil really is and how deceptive and subtle, smooth, you know, he's a smoothie. He really is, and how much sense he is able to make to the natural and the carnal minds, which makes up most of what we call church today, unfortunately, since carnality is seen by division, and today's churches are hopelessly and helplessly divided even over the basic doctrines. They're divided over the basics. The Bible says to go on past the basics, go on, leave the basics behind us. In Hebrews 6:1, ha, ha, ha. People can't do that because they're struggling over the basics, because God won't give them insight over anything else because they don't have the basics together yet. I was thinking one morning that today's eternal security should be called false security. The eternal security that a lot of people claim that, you know, we have eternal security. And I'm saying that is false security. See, the Bible says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. And that kind of does a number on this eternal security idea. Because I'm not really seeing the endurance that people are claiming that they're part of. Now, the Bible tells us in Colossians 1:15, that Jesus was the firstborn of every creature. The firstborn. See, I didn't catch that right away. Adam was the first created, but it says here that Jesus was the firstborn of God's creation. And in verse 18, it says he was the firstborn from the dead, which would make up, you know, the new creation. We are new creation. It does not say that Christ was created before Adam. Great church men of the past, full of pride. Oh, I was thinking of this Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Let me see if I can say this the way I have it written down. Great men, church men of the past, full of pride, sat high on the wall. But being filled up with pride, they had a great fall. Well, all of their theories and all of their great men are not able to fix what only God can. Anyway, so much for that. That was a takeoff from the Humpty Dumpty story that we are familiar with. I was thinking, you know, God hides truth and spiritual things from the wise and the prudent, and from the high and the mighty, and from the prideful and the arrogant. And my thoughts are, Lord, please, don't hide those things from me. Make me humble. Keep me broken. Keep me as the babe and the suckling that is open to truth. See, 1 John 3:2 tells us that it does not yet appear what we shall be like. Or it doesn't say like in the King James, it just says what we shall be. But in other translations it says what we shall be like. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I just quoted that before, but I quoted it again. Which would then suggest that whatever he is at this time is what we will one day be changed into. See, in 1 Corinthians 15:49, we are told that as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. In other words, the new creation. That actually will be bear the image of God of through Christ. And so he is the firstborn of God's creation. And that now it starts to make sense. He is the firstborn of the new creation. And so anyway, in 1 Corinthians 15:52, it says we are told that in the new, or in the twinkling, you know, that word is only used one time that I can find anywhere in the Bible. In the twinkling of an eye, we'll lose our corruptible image and be created by God into that which is incorruptible, and the mortal shall be put on immortality. And I don't know about you, but I have this great desire to be part of that, whatever that is. Which Peter refers to as the Word of God in a pure state. He said we are being born again by the incorruptible seed, by the Word of God, which would have to be in a pure state, as revealed only by the Holy Spirit, in which only those with the Bible, with the babe and suckling mindset, will ever understand, since God never makes sure to hide truth from the rest of the people, from the wise and the prudent. And even if others should accidentally stumble somehow onto the areas of truth, it will probably work against them rather than do them much good. It won't do them much good even if they do happen to accidentally stumble onto truth. See, God is everywhere present, and as such is aware of the thoughts of men and whatever it is that goes on, even the intents of men's heart. As such, God can never be mocked. See, it says God is not mocked. Well, he can't be mocked. He even knows what we're thinking. However, this area of information seems to be missing in most men's minds. See, God is spirit, everywhere present, is able to tune into the very thoughts and the intents of men's hearts. But being created beings, we have a very difficult time even imagining that everything that exists could have come about in the way that the Word of God relates and tells us. See, it's hard for us to believe that. And even though the Word of God gives us the only reasonable explanation for this life, men will then turn to all kinds of stupid things and then embrace thoughts of ignorance that originate within the minds of fools who are helped along by the devil. See, we have a lot of, there are stupid doctrines of the churches. And the atheists, you know, where did they come from? Well, they certainly weren't helped along by God. They were fools. And they say in their hearts, there is no God. And it's like, and large numbers follow these people, and they're all destined for hell unless God should intervene at some point and have mercy on some because of their ignorance. And I know of one that was they called himself an atheist that later on became a pastor. He got saved. And see, God can have mercy on whoever he has mercy on. No wonder the Bible tells us that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. As such, in Romans 1:20, it tells us that the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen and understood by the things that are made. When we look around us and see the things that are made, it gives us an understanding that there is an invisible power working that has created all of these things that we can't see. It tells us that no man has seen God at any time. Who is he and why did he create this? It's not really for me to ask or even understand. I am a part of God's creation, and I need to embrace it as such. See, men foolishly take things around them for granted. Been doing that for years. While the truth is that everything that exists reveals the handiwork of a genius far superior to anything known by the minds of men. And the wise and the prudent geniuses are baffled by what they see. And yet the devil, who preys on self-righteous type men, you know, self-right, just men, keeps feeding these people with a just enough reasonable doubt, you know, just a little bit of reasonable doubt, so as to keep them in a no man's land where men try to replace the Bible rendition of God with something that makes sense to their natural understanding. And another generation loses out with God. And that's about where we stand, unfortunately. Now, in 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says, we are told that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have the treasure that God has given to us in earthen vessels. And I wondered about that verse and others like it, you know. And it said, so that the excellency of his power might be of God and not of us. See, there's nothing that we can boast of. Whatever we have inside of us, even the kingdom of God, did not come about by our greatness. It came about by his greatness and by his power and his abilities. And we are in earthen vessels that are going to be removed and replaced with a vessel that is not of this earth. And what is it? I don't know. So these vessels of this earth, when they die, they go back to this earth. And they would have no basis as to glory within ourselves or in themselves, but rather men would and should only glorify God who created us. And so what exactly is a treasure that we have in earthen vessels? Well, how about verse 6? The light that God has shined in men's hearts that gives the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And so when they saw him and they embraced him and they were around him, they were actually seeing the very nature of God himself. And in 1 Timothy 2:4 and 2 Thessalonians 2:10, when men receive a love for God's truth, then they come to a knowledge of God's truth, therefore become sanctified. That's what it says in John 17:17. We're sanctified through God's truth. Would that or could that not be the treasure that we have in earthen vessels? An understanding? If God gives us an understanding of things that are supernatural, that are spiritual and beyond the understanding of this world, would that not be a treasure in an earthen vessel? Well, see, that would have to be. As such, God has put things up in such a way that he creates the insides of the future new creation within men of flesh, who do not walk after the ways of the flesh, but are after the ways of the Spirit. And as such, the kingdom of God is within men, who walk not after the Spirit, after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And as the Word of God, or the Word of God's truth, is allowed access to the hearts and the souls and the minds of men, who are not able to glory in what takes place within them, since it does not happen to them. It is a supernatural thing that is done by the Spirit, which is from God. See, John the Baptist informed us that no man is able to receive anything except it is given to him from above. which thereby eliminates all glory, all self-glory. We can't glory in what took place because we didn't do it. And so whenever men think that their intelligent effort is what will cause eternal, internal, inward change, that becomes a mockery to God, since only the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit with the Word of God in spiritual form, or, you know, being born again, the start of God's kingdom, requires the effect of God's Word and truth, as it all is allowed to take root within men in an incorruptible state. See, what has happened is the devil has managed to corrupt the Word. That's why we have all these different doctrines, all these different beliefs. And so men are trying to be sanctified and they're trying to be saved through a corruptible seed. And it will never work. It can't work because God won't allow it to work. And see, if a corrupted seed, a false doctrine, gets started within men, it will work to force the truth out of others. It will force the truth out of other people and make them deny the truth. See, God has given His eternal Word in just such a way so that the natural and carnal-minded person is able to take it in letter form only and kill themselves with it. And as a matter of fact, they kill others by the legalism that they are able to develop from and grow into as they take in the Word of the God in a letter. See, legalism was what the law was all about. It was a legalistic thing that ended up killing people. And so in Romans 8:21 and Galatians 5:1 and James 1:25, in Romans 8:21, Galatians 5:1 and James 1:25, we see the freedom provided by God from legalism. In Romans 8:21, it tells us about the deliverance from the bondage of corruption. See, we are not saved by corruptible seed. It's a bondage from corruption. And so when we are brought into a church structure that is wrong, we are supposed to come out of this thing and set it aside and come out from among them and be ye separate. And then God will give us the light that we need. So we come out of corruption and into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And in Galatians 5:1, it says, "Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, or the freedom from the old covenant-type legalism, which somehow plagues today's churches." And as such, whenever I see the dress standards that a lot of the churches goers embrace as some kind of holiness, it makes me wonder if they have the same Bibles to read that I do. In James 1:21, we are told to receive with meekness the engrafted word, is able to save our souls. And in verse 22, it says, "Be doers and not only hearers of God's word." And verse 25, "For he who looks into God's perfect law of liberty and continues therein, that man will be blessed in his deeds." And you know what? I have felt a blessing, the Psalms 1:1 blessing upon me, as I have turned to the Word of God and have not turned to other things. I am not interested in what he thinks and she thinks. I'm only interested in what God says and what God thinks, because that is revealed and expressed in the Word of God. And so if we let the Holy Spirit explain it to us and reveal it to us, we will get God's thoughts and God's ways and God's heart. And so we are to be doers and not hearers, and we are to look into the law of liberty and continue therein, and man will be blessed in his deeds. Jesus told us that only those who continue in God's word through Christ will be made free. That's what it says. If you continue in my word, you're my disciples. And then you'll know the truth, and it will make you free. Well, you know what? It's free from one thing that you get free from is legalism. For sure, that's a step in the right direction. Legalism is the thing that holds us in bondage. And again, James 1:25, we are to continue in God's perfect law of liberty in order to receive God's blessing upon us. But what if men insist upon dragging the legalistic nature of the law along with them into their, quote, perfect law of liberty? What if they do that? Well, I tell you something, you will lose your liberty because the law will overpower the law of liberty. My answer would be, I don't think that you can have both. See, it doesn't. I don't know how you can drag one into the other. However, God does see men's hearts and is very famous for having mercy. He would rather have mercy than sacrifice. He would rather have mercy on us than have us do something that in order to gain his mercy. See, God had mercy on Paul. He had mercy on me. And however, God is a stickler for truth and blesses those who fall in love with it and places a curse upon those who purposely and change his word. For instance, that's in Galatians 1:8-9. He puts a curse on those that change what he says. And so on the one hand, holy mercy that God has, you know, godly mercy, while on the other hand, righteous judgment. And when I say righteous judgment, it means that whatever judgment God passes is going to be righteous. Are we not told that God will have mercy upon whosoever he will have mercy? And yet is God not a righteous God? However, we need to never forget that God created men so as to glorify him, and that he allowed the devil access to men so as to try men's hearts towards God, so he would know how, so we, by that us being tried and our reaction to it, it will set us in a position to glorify God. As such, except for the creative genius of God, nothing that exists, including it, that exists, including you and I, would or could exist. We are the reason. God's creative genius is why we exist. He's the one that's behind it. And so, of course, the fool says within his heart, there is no God. Say, there is no other explanation that makes any sense to him. However, those statements could come from someone who has witnessed the power of God. Those statements coming from someone who has witnessed the power of God, like myself, and who is now seeing the life-changing power of this eternal word that God has left with us, that's not something that I understand. I don't understand how they can see it as foolishness. Now, when Jesus said that in the kingdom comes without observation and within us, neither statement makes any sense until someone begins to experience the kingdom. But once the spiritual-minded people begin to experience the real new creation inward change, then the without observation aspect begins to change. See, it's not that a person that has begun to become into the kingdom, he sees those that are part of the kingdom as such. And men begin to embrace it as such. I love the deep spiritual revelations that we are experiencing, which I realize are hidden from most people. See, 1 Corinthians 2:16, based upon verse 15, tells us that the spiritual-minded person has the mind of Christ. And as such, would not Jesus be able to recognize the kingdom of God whenever he saw it? Wouldn't he be able to recognize it? Well, of course he can. And since it has now become very obvious that the vast majority of churchgoers are about on the same level as the world itself, it's about on the same level, then in 1 Corinthians 2:14, would not those who sit in the darkness of false doctrine see spiritual truth as foolishness? Like the fundamentals, who see the baptism of the Holy Spirit as not something of today, and it's foolishness to them. Well, of course they see it. And the reason being is because all they've taken is a letter, and there's no spiritual insight that has been given. And since the Holy Spirit leads and guides and teaches by comparing spiritual with spiritual, but spiritual truth does not equate with natural and carnal minds, of course they can't see it. There's no way they can see it. Would not truth then, even though it is actually is truth, appear as foolishness? Of course it's going to appear as foolishness. I can understand that. That doesn't take a Philadelphia lawyer. See, somehow, and of course by the great mercy of God, we who know, and many others, we and who knows how many others, I'll get it in the right context here, begin to allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into truth, rather than look to the wisdom of wise and prudent men so as to instruct us and waste our time. Isn't that what has been happening? People go to church on a Sunday morning and they listen to it's nonsense. It's foolishness. It's not spiritual, it's carnal at the best. And as a result, people get upset with one another and they get divided in their churches and they have sections of the church where this one agrees with that one, but they set in sections because they don't agree. And I'm thinking, if you can't get together in a church, how are you going to have unity outside of the church? And so I see one of the greatest miracles taking place inside of us of anything that I have ever seen in my life. And what I think that I see is that which comes without observation by those who are not able to recognize it. Now, I know how easy it is to think you see and actually do not see. I mean, I know how easy that is. However, with a love for truth and the deep love for God's Word, and the real willingness to allow the Holy Spirit access to us. Now, have you heard that? See? How, with the love for that we are developing for the truth, and the love for God's Word in us, and the willingness to allow the Holy Spirit access to us, and the willingness to allow God to do things His way, but I believe that God is setting the stage within us so as to develop His kingdom within us supernaturally. I believe that God is doing it. Am I right? That's what I believe. That's up to this point. However, and again, lest I think I see, but don't actually see, I need to ask Christ or God to see for me and to give me an accurate spiritual look at these things. I got to have His eyes to look. Because what I think I see, I might not see. See how many others over the years who were sure that they could see. And remember what Jesus told them? He said, because you say that you see, your sin remains. You think you see, but you don't see. And remember Peter, he says, Lord, even if all of the rest of them abandon you, he said, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stay right here by you. And Jesus said, Peter, you don't even know your own self. And see, that's who we are. We're people. We don't know ourselves. And I am extremely happy and excited about what I think I see and whatever it is. And but what do I not yet see? And why? Because, as I keep saying, I'm a creation trying desperately to know things, to understand what the one who created me had in mind. And not that I have to. All I'm asked to do is to believe God and submit. That's all I'm asked to do. And after that, it's up to Him what He does. And so anyway, I'm a creation. And I tell you what, it helps us to understand that and keep that in mind. And see, God never has let me know much about the future. And yet, God knows the end from the beginning. And as such, He knew you and way before you were born, as well as you know, your children as well, and all of those that are after you. He knows ahead of time. How? Well, that is one of the millions of differences between us and the one that created us. See, God functions in a realm that is unknown to us, as such is without limitations of any kind. He even knows the thoughts that we think and the intents of the heart. Now, that goes past my ability to comprehend. See, we can guess at what someone is might be thinking, but God actually knows. And so while evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, God sees within their hearts and within their systems, since he's hot up their inner makeup, and therefore is logged into it. See, the development of computers by the intellect of men should give us a clue as to who God is, since he designed the minds that designed the computer. And when Jesus said, without God, or with God all things are possible, I am beginning to believe that that is true, and I accept it as a truth. See, who is it that is able to create just that which I have, that you and I have seen? What kind of force is able to create all of this that we see? And yet it exists around us. And so, at let alone the 99% of the things that I haven't seen. I've only seen, you know, a portion of it, a little part. And when we are told that God will at some point and change our vile body, it calls it in Philippians 3:21, our vile body into his glorious body. It's and vile, but vile means it's poor, it's disgusting, it's mean, you know, whatever it's like, whatever, that's the word where villain it comes from, the word vile. And so that it will be as fashioned like unto his glorious body, or the glorified body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll be like that body. The Antichrist that has led the church system has tried to make the man Christ Jesus into deity. And that is why it says in 1 John 4, 2, or 3, that is the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, I want you to read that if you can. 1 John 4, verses 1 through 3. Read it. And in here, we understand that when you take away the humanity of the man Christ Jesus and make him into a god or make him into anything, what you do is you are listening and obeying what the devil has set up from the beginning. No wonder God puts a curse upon false doctrine, as well as upon all of those who change the pure gospel message. And see, who changed the pure gospel message? See, Jesus Christ was the firstborn of the new creation, Revelation 3:14, and seeks to direct by God's word all men into the position whereby they are able to be changed into a moment in the twinkling of an eye into the real image that God had set up from the beginning. Well, I think when he made us at creation, I don't think that we understand this when it says that we were created in God's image. I think it is a future state that God is going to put us in. Now, he wouldn't send those to hell that are in his image. It has to be something that's different than what we understand. See, if these bodies are referred to as vile, then we can be sure that God had something more in mind at creation than what we see. And anyway, I preach this in a lot shorter time than normal, but anyway, I brought everything in it that I wanted. So anyway, God bless you. I love you. Amen and amen.